Dear friends, in this study of Bhagavad Gita, we have been understanding or trying to understand what is the goal of human life and what are the means to attain that goal in a very practical way. Bhagavad Gita, like all Vedanta texts, lay a great stress on practicability. These are not in that sense philosophical texts. What sometimes philosophical text means, you understand certain concepts, certain ideas intellectually without putting much or giving much importance to the practical implications or practically implementing them. So, for example, you think about how the connection between the world and the God is, and you formulate a theory and then discuss about it, or think about the nature of free will, or is it everything completely bound? So theoretically you formulate certain concepts and then you debate about it, think about it, but all without a practical component to it. It is only a matter of intellectually accepting certain things and not thinking about how can I illumine my life with it. Bhagavad Gita, right from the beginning, it is of a different type, that understand our practical difficulty in life. And that is why it begins with the example of a confused Arjuna. Too many conflicts stretching him in various completely conflicting directions. So therefore, he feels, what should I be doing now? It is a very important dilemma that we all face in life. And that actually is this analogy of war. We are at war. We are at war with our surroundings, with the world in general, with our job, with our other family members, our friends, our allegiance to various other things, and more importantly, many times we are at war with our own different emotions. So this war is an analogy for what we are facing in the world and day-to-day life, that we are having these conflicts and they demand solution. Solution in a positive sense, that how can we progress through this conflict. So the confusion and the suffering of Arjuna born out of this confusion, Lord stresses it. Lord analyzes how it happens, makes a diagnosis, and tells that this is because of the tremendous attachment that we have for passing things, the things which by their very nature, they come and go. We want to hold on to those things. And we cannot hold on to those things because by very nature they are passing. Their very nature is to come and go. They do not stay. And yet we have a desire to hold on to them. We see this in our life. For example, our own kith and kin, our society, whatever belongs to me, I feel I should have it with me permanently. It should remain with me forever. But their very nature is fleeting, like the body. What does it mean? Being born and dying. There is nothing much about it. In between something happens, the growth, we call it growth. But you cannot hold on to it permanently. The idea of body is a continuous change. So it is changing something and yet we want to hold on to it. We want to possess it. And then we want to have permanent relationships with the changing things. Like my so-and-so, my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband, my home, my community, my job. All those things we want to hold on to for all the time. While those things themselves are fleeting, they do not remain. For example, money, I want to hold on to it all the time. But money is money only when it changes. Otherwise, it is not money. Suppose I am holding a $100 bill. Then it is just a piece of paper. When does it become money? When I buy something with it, then it becomes money. And what happens to it then? It goes away. It is no longer money. It is no longer $100 with me. So it is money only when it goes. It is otherwise not money. It is just a piece of paper that you are keeping as money. So all such things that we want to hold on to, they are just fleeting. It is like our body, our own existence that is, we imagine it to be in the body. It is just a continuous change. We feel that it should remain like that forever. A child should never grow. That concept is, you know, in that beautiful story that many of you must have been reading from childhood, Peter Pan. Now it is a bus service, that the mother, that the child passed away, but the mother always would see the child. And for her, that child remained only of that age, never could grow, never could become bigger. So we want things to remain with us. And yet if they don't grow, we become concerned that why my child is not able to walk or is not able to talk. The parents become tremendously concerned, very naturally, that, well, it become 2 years old and still is not able to talk. Why so? So you take that child to doctor, you become concerned. Now, isn't it a change, a baby not talking and a baby started talking? Similarly, the growth takes place. The person, then the child becomes a 20-year-old, a teenager, then a full-grown young person, then starts getting old. And then, passes away. As that song says, that is the story of all of us. Solomon Grande, born on Monday, thistled on Tuesday, married on Wednesday, ill on Thursday, worse on Friday, died on Saturday, buried on Sunday. That is the story of Solomon Grande. It is the story of every person. Born, grows, many things happen in the course of time, and then, passes away. So, it is, and that means continuous change. And yet we want to hold on to it. That is our problem. We have to understand that our search for unchanging has to be directed to something that is really unchanging. We want to hold on to something, but then what should we hold on to? Something that is never going to change. And that is what in the second chapter we saw that Lord points out, that our self does not change in the midst of the changing body. So we should understand and try to, you know, feel. Understanding intellectually has to seep deeper into our being. It must percolate into our feelings, and then it can percolate into in our experience that yes, I am the unchanging self. I am not the changing body. And thus what will happen? The attachments which become a terrible source of suffering and bondage, they will go away. And as they start going away, one starts becoming more and more free, more and more loving, and also would see that the true meaning of existence, true meaning of life. So this is really spiritual life. Spiritual life basically means that learning to live in spirit, something that does not change, rather than living in changing body, changing mind. So spiritual life is shown that it is your core of being. It doesn't change. And it is transcendent over all changes, and therefore is all-pervading as well. In the same chapter at the end, Lord also shows that how all the signs of perfection come to that person's life. It is something that is very tangible. The life changes from a life of turbulence and suffering to life of peace and blessedness. So that person becomes a blessing to himself or herself, becomes blessing to the family, becomes blessing to the society in general. So this path is to be traversed. This is a process that one has to take up in life to shift the attention, shift the our attachment to changing something to something that does not change. And various tools are shown for that. In the ninth chapter that we had been studying, we saw that we have to feel this, that in God, there is everything that we are seeking. This whole universe, it is within God. God appears as this universe. So the universe is in God, but it does not affect God. That is the transcendental aspect of it. Like the, just to give an analogy, the analogies illustrate the point, but analogies should not be stretched too much. It is not to explain, some analogies are given, but no analogy can be exact. So the analogy of ocean is very often cited here, that just as the ocean is in all waves, but the waves do not really affect ocean. The waves rise and fall, but that doesn't mean ocean itself rises and falls. It is something that remains while the waves keep on rising and falling. So, similarly, God remains unchanged while the names and forms wave-like, they keep on rising and falling. So the attention should be shifted on the infinite ocean rather than the tiny, even if it is a big wave, compared to ocean, it is after all a tiny thing. So it is all these small and big things, they are contained in it. So our loving connection should be formed with this essence of existence rather than the appearances that come and go. And that will bring stability to life. So it was shown that when you do this, when you turn your emotions in that direction, your love in that direction, that is called devotion. When we pour our love on shifting things, then it is a source of bondage. But when we turn it towards the Lord that does not change, the Lord that is the essence of the whole existence and that which is pervading in everything. So when we turn attention to that, turn our love to that, then it is called devotion, practice of devotion to God. And it was shown that don't think that it is very difficult. It is simple. It is only the question of our readiness. We have to mentally be prepared and ready to do it. And when we do it, we can see the changes in life ourselves. It does not require that we have to keep on believing it. So therefore, Vedanta does not give a religion that can be just called faith. Many times religion, especially in the Western world, gets called a belief system or a faith. Interfaith conference means it is a matter of faith. But Vedanta is not faith in that sense. It is in fact a science, of analyzing, understanding, experiencing, verifying through experience. You know it for yourself. You don't need to believe it. Believing means that you do not really have a clear understanding or knowledge, but you accept it on somebody else's authority or just some certain thing that gives you a peace of mind if you believe it. So, in that sense, it is not a matter of belief. It is something that is you can easily verify in your life. In fact, it is meant for verification in life. You do and you get the result. You practice and find the benefits in yourself. Like medication, if the medication is right, then you take the medication and then you don't have to keep on believing. You took it on the words of the doctor that yes, you take it, but if it doesn't keep on, if it doesn't have any positive effect on you, then you have to change it. You cannot just take it on belief. It has a scientific analysis behind it, and if you take it, you can see the changes in yourself. So, this practice of devotion also is like that. The person's life takes a complete turn around. The person who is very miserable, very is continuously irritated, angry, suffering, depressed, And these are the conditions that nobody, none of us want, who want to be a depressed person. We don't want, but we become because of various reasons. We do not want to get irritated and angry, but it comes to us, we have no control over it. It's just like a disease, friends. Who wants to get a flu? Nobody is looking for getting a flu. In fact, we take flu shots to avoid it. So, but flu, sometimes one gets it. Now, when one gets it, it is to be cured. It needs to be treated and get rid of it. So, similarly, we have these problems in life. We have what is called sometimes in the world of philosophy, the existential problem. What is the meaning of I existing? What is this existence? So, we feel that sense of who really am I, the loss of identity, the loss of purpose in life, and then that also makes us depressed. We have problem of loneliness. Sometime back in our university, this thing we were having discussion about feeling lonely. And one student very nicely remarked, it is something that we want and yet we don't want. We want and we don't want. You can verify this, you know, want and do not want. That person, that student said, not in a philosophical way, but just by observing or feeling one's experience. Sometimes we crave for company. We feel lonely. We want to mix with many people. And yet, there are times when we feel that we should be left alone. Let me be alone. I don't want anything around. So, we want to be alone, but yet we don't like it for too long a time. We start getting bored. It is, once another speaker had mentioned this very beautiful idea, that when we get bored by being alone, what does it really mean? That I am not liking my own company. I am in my own company, but my own company is so boring. So, if my own company is so boring to me, just think how much more boring it will be to others. So, it is, one should come to terms with these conflicts. And it all these conflicts, it was pointed out, is because we are driving in wrong direction. As soon as you start driving in right direction, the life takes a turn around. These conflicts start getting resolved. And it is not difficult. It is just as driving in wrong direction and driving in right direction. It is not that driving in right direction is terribly difficult. If we are driving in wrong direction, you spend gas anyway. You have the same roads. But, well, when you start driving in the right direction, you get to the destination. Otherwise, you keep on circling around and getting confused more and more. So, it is easy in the almost the end of this ninth chapter, that beautiful verse comes. Lord says, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati. That remember that person, howsoever that person becomes dharmatma, means the one whose soul is spiritual, one whose existence is this spiritual existence, that person lives in spirituality. Earlier that person was not living, and so When the spiritual disciplines are followed, that person starts living a spiritual life. It is not difficult, you know. It is just making a turn around in life, and it happens quickly, very quickly. It doesn't take a very long time. The turnaround happens in life very quickly. So he says, kshipram, very quickly, kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Very powerful words, that when you start doing this, you become a deeply religious or spiritual person. It is not the question of where you are. One teacher of mine used to always emphasize this, that where you are, on what stage you are in spiritual life matters not that much. Your direction matters more. You may be, he used to give an analogy, that you may be on the topmost step of a staircase. But if you are facing downwards, then slowly you will be stepping down, and you, in no time you will be seen at the bottommost step. But you may be on the first step, but you are facing upwards, then in no time you are climbing higher and higher, and you may be beginning, but then in a few minutes, in a short time, you will climb to a very high state. So it is the question of making a strong, conscious beginning in life, and the life takes a turnaround. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. And what happens? Then unshakable peace comes in life. Shashwat shantim. Again, very powerful words. Shashwat shantim. That unending, unchanging peace comes in life. We all want peace. And sometimes we get a glimpse of peace in our life. That I had good sleep last night, and the breakfast was good, and my wife was quite sweet to me. And then you start feeling peaceful, but that peace lasts for, say, an hour or another couple of hours. You again get some news that was not very happy, and that disturbs our mind. So it is such peace, this situation-dependent peace doesn't last too long. Situation keeps on changing, and therefore, if our peace is dependent on the situation, that is, I shouldn't have any physical problem, I should have very good health, I should not have any job problems, I should not have any social issues, I should not have any family issues. Now, if our peace of mind is dependent on that, then it is almost impossible. If you are a Democrat, then if Republican comes to power, your peace is destroyed. Other way around as well, you know, that it is. Because the life, the peace is dependent on such things. So how can you have peace in life if it is dependent on those things? But if it is dependent on our connection with God, then it is a real, unshakable peace all the time. Such person remains in true peace. And I have seen, friends, that many disturbing situations come in life, but these people, they deal with the situation. Not that they are inactive, not that they don't understand what should be done. They take care of it. but do not get perturbed or disturbed, or do not lose peace of mind. They are perfectly at peace. House is on fire. Okay, what do you need to do? Do that. You don't have to create another fire in you and get disturbed and lose peace. You should not get into panic. Be peaceful and deal with it. Many things will be happening in the world. Our peace should not be mortgaged in those things. So when you become a devotee of Lord, the Lord, that is the indwelling spirit, your very self, when you tune life to that, then the peace also is always with you. And Lord says that you can, that word pratijanihi is translated in various ways by the commentators depending on how the prefix prati is interpreted. But all those meanings are very beautiful. One meaning is that certainly know that the devotee does not perish. Lord says, my devotee does not perish. My devotee means not devotee of a particular form, but devotee of God. The one who is devoted to truth, that person does not perish, because is tied to something that does not perish. If I identify myself with body, then what happens? Body has to perish. And so, because I am body, I have to perish too. If I am the unchanging spirit, if I am God, then because I have tied myself to divine, divine does not perish, and I too consequently do not perish. Another meaning that this pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati, know that my devotee never perishes, never comes to harm, is another meaning. Never comes to harm. What does that mean? It is not to be interpreted like that devotee then will never is bothered by the disease. Well, disease will come to that person's life too. Sri Ramakrishna is great example. So many diseases came and went in his life. But his peace, his devotion and his God consciousness did not falter at all, did not change at all. Irrespective of the physical conditions, the consciousness of the divine was intact. Irrespective of the tremendous pain that others could see, he was, as it were, with both hands distributing immense bliss all the time. How could that happen? Because the consciousness is tied to God, and so it is not affected by what happens to the physical personality. So this is what is assured by Lord. Another meaning given by another great commentator, Sridhar. He says, pratijanihi means tell to everybody. Tell it to everyone. Let everyone know. You can announce it on loudspeakers. He says actually in his commentary that you can beat the drums. Let everybody be called and be told loudly that no, that the devotee does not perish, does not come to a harm. So, this is, we must remember. And now, the 10th chapter is, it begins a very important chapter. It won't take us too long really to go through many verses of this chapter, but it is a very beautiful chapter, coming with Arjuna's question. That the Arjuna's question it comes later. It is it begins Lord saying that, look, you know, it is called Vibhuti Yoga, that in so many different ways we can think of God. So God is all pervading. And so, wherever we are becoming conscious of different things, instead of that, become conscious of God. That is the consciousness of a saint. A saint and a common person. What is the difference? The saint also sees, suppose a saint is seeing a dog. The saint sees dog like anybody of us will see it as a dog. Not that that saint sees a donkey there. The saint also sees the same dog. The saint also will see the food as food and will eat it. It is not very different. The saint will also they drive the car in the same way. It is not very, nothing changes there. What is difference then between what we see and what a saint sees? The difference is, while we see dog as a separate thing than a cat or a donkey or a man, the saint sees that the dog, the cat, the man, and all the other things, they are different shapes, different forms, but the reality in them is same. Like animal crackers, you have cat, you have dog, you have a lion, you have an elephant, and the children, babies, they see that cat is cat, different from a dog. But a grown-up person knows that it is the same thing, it tastes same, the substance is same. Whether you eat cat or whether you eat dog, doesn't matter. You can be very good vegetarian while eating all those animals, you see. So it is, because no animal is involved there, it is all only shapes. So a saint sees in and through all these names and forms that God is the reality in all these names and forms. A spiritual baby like us, you know, spiritual babies, we are spiritual babies, we see only the name and form. We get attached to name and form. So that is the difference. So a life now is to be changed by practicing that whatever we see around us, this is a matter of practice, matter of training our mind to be aware of God in various different forms that we come across. We come across so many forms. Everything is name and form. So when we come across any of those, let us think that it is a form taken by God. It is God appearing in that form. The same substance appearing as a dog or elephant or a donkey in that animal crackers. It is not different at all if we see the substance. So, whenever we see a very good person that one likes, yes, that is a form of God. If you come across a person whom you do not like at all, that also is a form of God. If you see a very virtuous person, That is form of God. Any vile person, terribly criminal mind, still form of God. Now what will happen by that? Our peace of mind will be retained. We will not get disturbed by that. A question may come that, so does it mean that we should be, there is no difference between having a company of saint and a company of a criminal? No, that is not the case. When it comes to the name and form, to behave with them accordingly. As Sri Ramakrishna used to say that in tiger also there is God. But then that form of God need not be embraced. You know? You should worship that form from a distance. That, oh God, come, keep safe distance from me, don't come too close. It is. Where it is the question of form, maintain that relation of form. Like you will also, when you see like a little child, will see the animal crackers, you will also identify this is donkey and this is cat. You will not call the donkey form a cat form. You will maintain that distinction. But a child, a baby who doesn't know that they are really same substance, will get deluded by that, will become very set that I want only the donkey, I don't care for it in that cat form. So similarly here we have to change our attitude and learn to look within. So Lord says therefore, Shri Bhagavan Vacha Bhuya Eva Mahabaho Shrunume Paramam Vachaha Yatteham Priyamanaya Vakshami Hitakamyaya. The Blessed Lord says, hear again, O Mighty Armed One, my supreme word, which I, wishing your welfare, shall tell you who take delight in it. The words are as every verse of Bhagavad Gita we find, pregnant with tremendous meaning, that I am telling you again. What does it mean? Bhuya eva. I am telling it to you again. Means already I have told you these things. And listen again. When do we tell that? Something that we have already told, but it is important. And therefore we are repeating it so that the listener may not forget it. A listener may not overlook it. So that thing is repeated again. So Bhuya Eva, when Lord is saying, let me tell you again, means something very important is being discussed. That is why it is told again to a person like Arjuna, very intelligent person. It is said that Arjuna could learn things very quickly. The teacher had therefore no need to repeat with Arjuna all those archery things, and that were taught to other students. Arjuna could master them very quickly because of his ability to learn quickly with tremendous concentration. So that mind, that wonderful student like Arjuna, also needs to be told this again. So it is of great importance. And why so? That we sometimes may feel that I understand Bhagavad Gita, oh, I have read it enough, it is what is there. We feel that we are very intelligent, very bright, and can understand these things easily. Well, Intellectually, these things are difficult, not easy to grasp. And so, Lord says, no, well, you understand only very little. Look, who do not understand. Name vidhu suragana prabhavam namaharshayah ahamadirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvashah. Neither the gods nor the great sages know my birth, for I am the cause of the gods and the great sages in all respects. And Lord is telling, you know that I am repeating it to you because I love you a lot. Let us remember that God loves us a lot. It is not only we should be loving God, but God really loves us tremendously. And that is why He is repeating again, like the mother repeats to the child, hey, remember, don't make these mistakes, always, you know, think of it, remember this. The kids get sometimes tired, oh, mom, I know. Don't tell again and again. I know it. But mother knows that the child may get irritated, the son may get irritated, especially if they are a teenager. It's very difficult, you know. So at that time, they think that they know everything. And the parents feel that, well, they need to be told again so that they will not forget these things. So they keep on telling, and if the kids, they get irritated. Parents know that they may get irritated, they may get angry. But still, even if they get angry, let me tell. Doesn't matter if that my son gets angry with me, but let me do my duty. Let me tell. So it is through that, you know, the Lord tells. We may say that, hey, I know. But Lord says, well, still, I love you, therefore I am telling for no other reason but for the love. And look, you may think that you know, but I am in the, before the whole creation, I was. And so nobody knows my origin. Because they came later, they were not there to see it. So all creation, including the sages and all that very learned people, the gods, by the word gods here is meant, the demigods, the different these beings with lot of angelic powers, they are sometimes called gods. A word that is used is sura. Sura means suragana. Sura, they stay in some elevated domain. They have done some good works, and therefore they have been blessed with an elevated position where they get lot of different joys and corresponding pains also. So that kind of, they have some special powers, so they are called these demigods. So they, you may think that they are great, well, in your comparison they are great, but they also are later, and so they do not know my origin, aham adirhi devanam, I am before all the creation I was. And so know that yo mam ajamanadim cha vetti lokamaheshwaram asammudha samarteshu sarva papai pramuchyate. He who knows me, the birthless and beginningless Lord of creatures, is undeluded among men and is freed from all sins. So, and then he describes that what different forms you should see my glory, how I am in all different things that you come across. Mental things first he takes up, that how all the different thought waves are really my expressions. Buddhir jnanam sammoha kshama satyam damashyamah sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam evacha ahimsa samata tushti tapo danam yasho yashah bhavanti bhava bhutanam matta eva prithag vidhah. Verse 4th and 5th, that discrimination, knowledge, non-delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, self-control, tranquility, happiness, misery, existence, non-existence, fear, and also fearlessness, non-injury, equanimity, contentment, austerity, charity, fame, ill-fame, these different dispositions of beings are indeed born of me. So, when such feelings or such faculties are seen in us, let us feel that it is God, intellect. I am very bright, my intellect is very sharp, or I am not that intelligent. That idea is an expression of God. When we described here, fear is an emotion. God expresses through that emotion. Similarly, fearlessness is also an emotion. God expresses itself through that emotion. All different emotions, they different modifications of our intellect and mind, they are all really filled with God. Our physical perceptions as well as mental modifications, they are all really filled with God. Matta eva prithag vidhaha, beautiful word. They are all from me, becoming many. The one, from that one, these many kind of come up and go down again like the waves. From the one ocean, all different waves come up and again go. That one appears as so many different varieties. So that one God appears as clear understanding of certain things, or delusion about certain things, fear or fearlessness, knowledge and ignorance, many very blessed qualities like compassion. It is, one may feel that I am very compassionate. No, that it is not your glory, it is the glory of God that makes you sometimes compassionate. It is not always. There is no one who is always, ever, in every situation compassionate. In fact, many times one thinks later that I should have been more compassionate in this situation. Because, compassion is also an expression of Lord. And non-compassion also is another expression of God. So to see that all these different things are waves coming from that source, so many good things, that doesn't mean that the good and desirable things are to be discarded, because both are God. Bad things are also God, good things also are God. So even if I have bad things, I should not be worried about. Why should I attempt to inculcate the good things? That is not what is meant here. That even if you are having many good tendencies, do not get that ego about it. that I am so good. Well, that is because of God. That God is appearing in that form there. And even if I have some bad tendencies, do not get depressed about them. That is how things happen in life. They will change. Let me make an effort to change them. So it is, the effort is to now see God in every mental vibration, desirable as well as undesirable. We shall continue studying this next Friday. Do you have any questions? Yes, George?
The way I see it, it's just a question of educating them to the fact that God is within them. They are the atman, they are the spirit, and they are the soul. But they're not taught that. As a little kid, you're taught all kinds of baloney. when you get older, they just start to think maybe the way life is, it isn't that way at all.
Well, that is one way of looking at it is this, that yes. Well, one has to experience this association. See, when one, and these are the stages that one goes through in experiencing one's true self. The I am, for an ignorant person, what happens is that I am is tied to body. So that is where the confusion takes place. So that is to be discarded, and the true nature of the self is to be sought, and that is the various tools are used for doing that. It is the tools are necessary for overcoming a particular problem. It is, and if that can be done, then those tools are very good. So this is a tool that you devote yourself to God, and that will make you this understand your true self. God is your true self. So that is very helpful, like Ramana Maharshi has done. Ramana Maharshi was a great teacher of this principle. They are taught. Teaching, you know, depends on learning. If I have the desire to learn, then I learn. It cannot. Teaching happens through experience. People learn. It is this idea doesn't come easily, and we feel that well, gradually I will become peaceful. Gradually, if I get promotion in my job, I will become very happy, and so forth. So when after a lot of such experiences, getting kicked around many times, then one thinks that, well, maybe I am driving in the wrong direction. Then one goes to ask. Otherwise, the person, because of the ego, doesn't stop and ask somebody, am I on the wrong track? So that is where the question of, you know, you start looking for a teacher. Teacher is someone whom you ask that, well, I am not getting peace in life. I was looking for peace in life, but I have not gotten it. In fact, I feel more disturbed. Why is it so? So, the mistake, that realization of mistake must come. Then the education starts. If you know that I know everything, then the education doesn't begin. So therefore, teaching depends on the learner first. There should be a learner to teach. That Sri Ramakrishna therefore used to quote that there are millions of gurus. Where is the disciple? The students are not there. Who is going to learn this? It is... They are... Well, it is what they want to learn. You know, it is, the question is what they want to learn. And they, you go to a mall, but that doesn't mean everybody buys the same thing from the mall. Whatever you like, you buy it from the mall. So it is like that. It is. 10 students go to the same teacher, do not get the same thing.
Well, you've got to go to a lot of teachers.
A lot of what?
Teachers.
Not necessary. Lot of teachers are not necessary. The spirit of learning is required. Well, that is, that it is majority, you know. Majority is like that. It is good. It is good in politics, you know. Majority gives you the power to rule, but majority doesn't necessarily give you the truth. Yeah. Maybe, yes, to get educated. That is all the process of education. Sure, you know. Yes, yes, yes. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehi Yasvayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinesrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namaniyane Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.